Hey, witches.
Welcome to The Lion,
The Witch,
and the podcast. We are two mystic Leos discussing spirituality and human condition in the post-pandemic world.
So hop in, witches, for going hexing.
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
I heard that.
Did that sound like an echo on a mountain or a hill?
It sounded like the one from Elf.
Oh my god, thank you. Thank oh my you. God. Did everyone, because I did take this off the episode, I just let out a really big burp. Like really big.
Very long. Imagine the scene from Elf where he's drinking down the Coke.
I always wanted to try his pasta dish.
Me too. He did something recently with like Jimmy Fallon or something where he was talking about making the pasta dish.
Yes.
The way I've always wanted to eat his disgusting chocolate candy Pop-Tart pasta dish. Like it looks delicious. What's wrong with me?
Nothing. It's because it's the holiday season and all that we want to eat is fucking chocolate and candy and sweets, and we want our teeth to rot. That's all.
Yeah. We are a dental commercial, if you haven't noticed by now.
Oh, I want a Pop-Tart so bad now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had some amazing events the past weekend. Seriously.
Yeah.
Such awesome events. So cool that we had, of course, you know, we have our monthly mini market night at Naughty Pine Brewery down in TO, which was like super fun as always. We had a new event that we were at. It's Afterglow, which was super fun in North Hollywood. Super cool to see all new people and hang out. And then on Saturday, we had an amazing event, the Magic Market, that was so Yule. It was so spirited. It was the perfect way to truly like bring in our mistletoe oil, like mm-hmm. really bring it into the Yule like holiday spirit, you know? Yep. And it was so cool to meet like all different vendors and yeah, just love the new community that we have in LA. And yeah, it was just super dope.
Oh, I love it. I love to hear it. It's just, it's really beginning to look a lot like mistletoe, isn't it?
It's beginning to look a lot like mistletoe.
And that is our new ritual oil. If you haven't picked it up, go to the shop. Go check it out. Like, we're using it constantly. It's like the perfect walk in an evergreen forest. Like, tell me you can't envision it when you smell it.
Oh, no, I can. I literally can. Like, it's so good. Somebody even asked me, I don't remember who it was, but they smelled me. They're like, yo, what the fuck is that? I was like, mistletoe, you want to smell it? You're like, when you stick it up your nose?
It's so good. Like, I just, it's everything I need right now. It's bringing me peace. It's bringing me the peace I need.
Because we're heading into winter. Winter's here. And
it is here.
We're heading into a dark time, but that doesn't mean that it's a bad thing that it's going into the dark time.
Yeah. We always have like this fear of winter, you know, like I've always had this fear of winter as like, you know, kind of a springy summer bitch, a springy summer witch, that I didn't want to like celebrate the winter season at all or the winter celebrations or anything like that. And I have such reverence for it now, like after watching the earth just change, you know, I live in an area where we have, you know, the seasons, the deciduous trees, watching everything fall, watching everything change and die back. And it's kind of beautiful in its own way. And you get to like go in, you get to go inward, you get to have your hermit moment. And I'm just resting and recuperating right now from the year. And I really appreciate winter for allowing me to do that. So I'm appreciating it from afar.
You're hibernating.
Perfect.
You are. Yes, we're hibernating. Also, like, truly. No shave. That's why we did No Shave November, because we have our hair like a bear.
Girl. We still there.
We still don't, because we gotta keep ourselves warm. Oh my god.
Right. And I do love a good blanket. You know,
we love a good blanket. Should we segue into what we're talking about today?
All right. Today, we have a cool thing that we're doing. So we're still doing our Simple Goddess series, but we're actually covering a couple goddesses today, and we're calling them the Winter Queens. So I'm just going to pop in with our resources, if you good.
I'm good. I'm Gucci.
All right. So today, we are taking from Ancient Origins, Learning Religions, and the Encyclopedia of Spirits by Judica Illes. Thank you to our resources for today.
Yes. All right. Let's get into it. So, the goddesses of winter. As fall departs and the frost sets in, we turn our attention away from the final harvest of the year toward the time of the winter solstice and Yule. The winter solstice typically falls on the 21st of December, at which time practitioners may begin to observe the Yuletide celebration and use the solstice to start off festivities. The winter solstice marks the longest night of the year as the sun travels its shortest path across the sky, and we celebrate the long nights of winter to come and all their mysteries. In the same vein, we celebrate the cooling of the earth, the dormancy of the world around us. It is the time of the hermit, Sean, of inner reflection and self-work. During this cold time of year, we can look to specific goddesses for strength, those that come to power during this time of year to guide us.
All right, now let's talk about just some of the goddesses of winter, because there are many across a vast multitude of cultures, but let's just talk about a few of them. Beira Kalia, Queen of Winter. In Scottish folklore, Beira is said to be the goddess of winter. According to some sources, she is also known as the Kalia, a name which is said to be translated literally into English from Gaelic as veiled one, but is also considered to mean old woman, wise woman, witch, or creator. Apart from Scottish folklore, this figure can also be found in mythology of Ireland, though she is called by a slightly different name, but this wintry figure has popped up in a number of mythologies of the native peoples of the British Isles. According to the folklorist Donald Alexander Mackenzie, who published The Wonder Tales from Scottish Myth and Legend in 1917, Beira was not merely a goddess of winter, but also the mother of all the gods and goddesses in Scotland. Although she is said to have been a creator goddess, Beira was also the type of deity who ruled through fear. Although her reign was undisputed during the winter, when spring came, her subjects would begin to rebel against her rule. She was also said to have shaped the landscape of Scotland. In some versions of her tale, Beira is said to be an old blue hag with one eye. According to one source, Beira's possession of one eye symbolizes her ability to see beyond duality and into the oneness of all beings. Beira is said to carry a magic staff which freezes the ground with each tap. At the end of winter, she would throw her staff under the holly and gorse bush. These are believed to be her sacred trees. Then, the goddess transforms into a gray stone, which is a signal that winter has ended. In some tales, Beira is said to be the guardian of the life force. In this role, she would find and nourish the seeds buried in the earth, thus bringing them to life during spring. Thus, Beira is also regarded as a goddess of death and rebirth. Another connection between Beira and the natural world is that she is the guardian of animals during the winter, protecting them during this harsh season. Beira is an immortal figure due to her routine drinking from a fountain of youth on the final day of her winter reign every year. When she drinks, she becomes a young maiden again and ages through the seasons until her reign comes again. Beira is the crone goddess with dominion over the dark side of the wheel of the year.
Next, we have Morana, goddess of winter, death, and rebirth. Commonly known as Marzana, her Polish name Morana, as she is known in Czech, Slovenian, Serbian, and Croatian, is the Slavic goddess of winter and death. Also known as More in Lithuanian, Morena in Slovak and Russian, and Mara in Belarusian and Ukrainian. Some scholars believe that the etymology of her name derives from the Proto-Indo-European name for death, mor or mar, or the Latin word for death, mors. However, it is unclear if this is the true origin of her name due to her story, as it fits into Slavic mythology. While she has been likened to the Greek goddess Hecate in regards to sorcery, as well as the Roman Ceres, goddess of agriculture, there are some distinct differences that set her apart from these similar traditions. She is most commonly seen as a bringer of death, as seen in Slavic mythology when Morana seduced Dasbog, the sun god. Once Dasbog moved on to another lover, Morana poisoned him. In retaliation, Dasbog burned Morana and banished her to Nav, the underworld in Slavic mythology. The story of retaliation coincides with the movement of the sun throughout the year. It was the belief of the ancient Slavic peoples that the sun descended into the underworld in the winter. In this sense, Morana is quite literally winter. She pulls Dasbog into her embrace for the duration of winter, but he breaks free in time to bring spring. Other stories, specifically among Russians, tell of Morana living in the Mirror Palace, which can only be reached through the Kalinov Bridge. The palace is protected by snakes and represents the place that the Slavic peoples associate with funerals, once again showing her role as the goddess of death in the underworld. While most traditions point back to her role as the goddess of death, another tradition states that she was not always the embodiment of death. In fact, it says that she was once a goddess of fertility and life, but soon withered into a deadly old crone. It is this story that makes some doubt that her name originates from the word for death in many languages, since she was once a goddess of life with the same name. She's the most often depicted as a woman of terrifying appearance, with pale skin, long dark hair, and sometimes she's known with the claws and fangs of a wolf. She is sometimes likened to the Germanic demon Mare, who would come in the night to sit on victims' chests until they suffocated. In other traditions, she is a young maiden dressed in white. To most, she appeared as a withered old woman. However, it is said to those who were not afraid of her, she would appear as the beautiful maiden. From this portrayal of her as a young maiden comes the dressing of her effigy in the ritual associated with her in Slavic tradition. Traditionally, the ritual was held on the fourth Sunday of Lent. Once the ritual was allowed by the Catholic Church after being abolished in 1420 by the Polish clergy. And in modern days, it is held on the fixed date of March 21st. But some still celebrate her mid-January. In the ritual, an effigy of the goddess would be made out of straw and dressed in white bits of cloth, ribbons, and necklaces. It is after the point that some traditions vary. In some rituals, the effigy would be burned. In others, it would be paraded to a river or pond to be drowned. In some cases, it would be burned and then drowned. The symbolic death of the goddess would then allow for a swift arrival of spring, the prosperous crops in the coming year. While it may seem odd to celebrate a goddess that is seemingly negative and associated with harsh winter, death, and famine, it is part of the Slavic tradition to honor her as one would the goddess of spring, because they are both a part of the cycle of the seasons and personifications of the primordial power of the universe.
Okay, Frau Hola. In some Scandinavian traditions, Frau Hola is known as the feminine spirit of the woods and plants, and was honored as the sacred embodiment of the earth and land itself. She is associated with many of the evergreen plants that appear during the Yule season, mistletoe, especially mistletoe and holly, there we go, and is sometimes seen as an aspect of Frigga, wife of Odin. In this theme, she is associated with fertility and rebirth. Her feast day is December 25th, and typically she is seen as a goddess of hearth and home, although in different areas she has clearly different purposes. Interestingly, Frau Hola is mentioned in the story of Gold Mary and Pitch Mary, as compiled by the Grimm brothers. In this context, that of a Germanic Cinderella-type tale, she appears as the old woman who rewards an industrious girl with gold and offers the girl's lazy sister an equally appropriate compensation. Legends in some parts of Germany portray her as a toothless hag who appears in the winter, much like the Kalia of Scotland. In other stories, she is young, beautiful, and fertile. In the Norse Eddas, she is described as Holden, and she gives gifts to women at the time of the winter solstice, or Yule. She is sometimes associated with winter snowfall as well, and it is said that when Frau Hola shakes out her mattresses, white feathers fall to the earth. A feast is held in her honor each winter by many in the Germanic countries. A number of scholars have pointed out that Frau Holle evolved from an earlier pre-Christian deity known as Hulda, alternatively Hola or Hula, who predates even the Norse pantheon. She appears as an old woman, associated with darkness of winter, and watches over children in the coldest months. Archaeologist Marija Gimbuta says, in civilization of the goddess, Hol holds dominion over death, the cold darkness of winter, caves, graves, and tombs in the earth, but also receives the fertile seed, the light of midwinter, the fertilized egg, which transforms the tomb into a womb for gestation of new life. In other words, she is tied to the cycle of death and eventual rebirth as new life springs forth. Hulda is a great and ancient goddess of birth and death, presiding over a transit station for human souls, a crossroads between life and death. Hulda receives the souls of the newly dead into her realm and releases newborns to live new lives on earth. Hulda bathes at midday in a fountain from which babies emerge, a well of life. Hulda lives in the mountain caves and among elder trees, portals to her realm. Her realm may also be accessed via wells. She is sometimes witnessed walking alongside rivers or mountain paths, alone or accompanied by an entourage of rabbits and fairies. She may be the queen of the elves. Like many deities, Hulda, Hulda, or Hola is a complex one with many aspects. She has evolved through the centuries in a way that makes it nearly impossible to associate her with just one theme. Hulda was known as the goddess of women and was connected to matters of the household and domesticity. In particular, she is tied to women's crafts, such as weaving and spinning. This, in turn, has tied her to magic and witchcraft, and she is specifically called out in the canon Iscopi, written around the 4th century. Those who honored her were required, as faithful Catholics, to do penance.
Next, La Befana, also known as Befana la Strega, Befana the Witch, Befana la Vecchia, Befana the Crone, or the Christmas Witch. Befana is a benevolent Italian witch who brings gifts to children on Epiphany Eve. She fills children's stockings with gifts just like Santa Claus does elsewhere, and has been associated with the Italian Yuletide tradition since the 8th century. Befana may predate Christianity and may originally be a goddess of ancestral spirits, forests, and the passage of time. Some identify this wandering nocturnal crone with Hecate. Other legends describe her as an elderly woman in either ancient Judea or Italy, was too busy cleaning to heed the Magi when they invited her to join them in paying homage to the newborn Christ child. Befana soon regretted her decision and has spent the past 2,000 years trying to catch up with the Magi, leaving gifts for good children along the way. Befana is invoked in many Italian spells, especially those for good fortune. She brings sweets for children, but may be persuaded to bring the sweetness of life to adults.
All right. So those are our winter queens that we are going over. Now let's talk about how we honor these winter queens. So honoring Bera Kalia. Although Bera is said to have often been associated with fear, as many of these winter deities are, that is likely due to the amount of fear that came from entering into the winter season from the ancient peoples. Winter was a time of scarcity, food and water were harder to find, and the weather was often unpredictable and destructive, and often led to death for elderly, sick, or even the young. It is no wonder that the Kalia was feared, but it might be more appropriate to say that she was revered. The ancient peoples felt that respecting the gods not only ensured their survival, but it also ensured blessings. And in the winter, it is easy to see how stumbling upon a winter crop of viable vegetables, a healthy stag, or a warmer period could be considered a blessing if you honored the goddess of winter. As we've learned, Bera was also a goddess of creation and one of protection. It was believed that when Bera hung out her white shawl over the mountains, what we mortals might see as snow-topped mountains would be a sign to the ancients that the land was under the protection of the Kalia. It makes sense, then, to pray to Bera to bless your winter months and that they may be unexpectedly fruitful, and to ask her to bring her gigantic influence to your spells of protection. She also may be a good goddess to look to during a time of transformation as a goddess of rebirth. Consider meditating with the Hermit card and devoting a prayer or thought to Bera to help you during this time of change.
Honoring Morana. As we've learned, Morana is often celebrated either in March or January with the burning of an effigy to symbolize the departing of the winter season and to welcome in spring. Much like the other goddesses covered in this episode, Morana was feared. But you can decide with what feelings you would like to approach this goddess. And if anything, we can recognize that she is a woman of power. Therefore, it may be appropriate to construct a ritual to banish the negativity of the previous season and welcome in the change of the next one while invoking Morana. Whether or not this goddess has been negatively portrayed throughout her mythology, the native peoples of the culture that honored her believed her to be an integral part of the primordial power of the universe. And it is important to remember that we need to actively balance the forces in our lives in order to survive in this world. Therefore, create an effigy to symbolize the energies, people, forces, or situations holding you back. And with Morana's help, throw the effigy into the fire to welcome in a period of growth and abundance. Of course, practice fire safety.
Honoring Frau Hola or Holda. Frau Hola is a spirit of winter in Germanic lore, so we can honor her in many ways during this time of year. She loves music and dancing and creating through the domestic arts. Dedicate your sound cleansing ritual to her to bring her blessings into your home, or perform a not magic spell in her honor. There are also plenty of ways to weave, knit, or crochet spells into your projects, and ask Frau Hola to preside over your work and bless the wearer of whatever you decide to make. Frau Hola is often invoked during the blessings of newborn babies, so if you know anyone that is welcoming a new life into their world this coming winter, write your own blessing invocation, calling upon Frau Hola to watch over them.
Last, but certainly not least, honoring La Bafana. Judica Illis says that Bafana travels the world leaving gifts on Epiphany Eve, the night of the 5th of January. An old lady can get tired from all that flying around. Leave her some gifts to replenish her spirits. Espresso, sega liqueur, cookies, Italian pastry. Once you leave her the offerings on Epiphany Eve, you can write her a note expressing your desires. Place it beneath a red witch-shaped candle and burn it. That sounds like, I think my mother needs that. I think she needs that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love these so much. They're so warming in such a cold season.
Yes. And winter is all about power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these goddesses show you during the darkest of times. Like, look at all the power that they have in themselves. It's just,
yeah. I mean, winter is nuts. It's a time of destruction, of scarcity. And, you know, it makes perfect sense that a lot of the ancient peoples were afraid of these goddesses, that a lot of their mythology would have been centered around fear. But I like to think of it as power. I like to think that these dark time of the year goddesses are raging with power, you know, and winter is just a personification of how much they can do. So invoke these goddesses when you're feeling powerless. I've been feeling so powerless lately in my life, and I'm definitely going to be invoking these goddesses in my winter rituals.
And you know what you should listen to during your winter rituals? I know why I think of this automatically, but Halsey's song, I am not a woman, I'm a god. Listen to that.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely in league with this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it. That's what we have for you, witches. We love you. Thank you for following us on this journey, for standing behind us, for being here when we need you. You guys really rally for us, and we so appreciate it. We hope you liked this episode. We hope you liked our past episodes, because why would you be here, I guess? I guess that would mean you would also like our future episodes. So subscribe, follow us, like, check out our shop, check out our email list. It's the only way you're really going to know what's going on, because social media buries everybody. But hey, follow us on social media while you're at it. Check us out on the Instagram. Anything else?
Yeah, just keep looking out for us, because more changes are actually going to be happening this month. So like, keep an eye out, because we have some really big changes that are coming at the end of the month, and we're really excited for them. And oh my God, we have another dope event. If anyone's in the LA place, you know, on Sunday, we will be at the Globe in downtown LA at Krampus Tavern. Like, it's such a dope, immersive event. Oh my God. If you can come out, please do, because it's going to be so fucking dope. And like Sean always says, drink your water, eat your food, get your sleep, and stay strong, which is because you are.
We love you. See you next week.
Bye.